Next Monday marks 20 years since Kip Kinkle, a high school student in Springfield, opened fire on his classmates, killing two and wounding 25 more. Adding to the death toll was Kinkle's parents, both shot dead by their son the night before. The Thurston High incident was one of the earliest modern-day school shootings, preceding Columbine by nearly a year. KLCC's Brian Bull revisits the tragedy. A warning, this story has descriptions of violence that may disturb some listeners.
Northwest Passage, I'm Tripp Summer. At least three people dead and 24 injured after shootings today in...
Well before school shooter became a familiar term, well ahead of social media, and back when most phones were still landlines, violence erupted on the campus of Thurston High School.
In Springfield, Oregon.
The suspect is a 15-year-old freshman.
Jolene Liu was a junior. She recalls May 21st, 1998, as starting off as just a normal day. That morning, she was hanging out with friends in the cafeteria before classes began. There were kids outside campaigning for student elections and a senior honor breakfast across the hall.
So there was a lot of activity going on anyway, but it switched when we heard the popping. And not growing up around guns, I had no idea what the noise was.
Another junior in the cafeteria, Bettina Lynn, figured some of the student campaigners had actually brought fireworks into the building as a prank.
I felt something impact me from behind in my back. I had no idea what it was. Possibly it was a firework, but it was a really powerful impact. At this point, I was very, very angry. Like, who's pulling a stupid prank that's putting us all in danger? And the moment the second bullet hit my foot, I noticed the gun.
15-year-old Kip Kinkle had arrived with a .22 caliber rifle, two pistols, a knife, and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Clad in a trench coat, he walked through the cafeteria, letting bullets fly. Jolene Liu recalls after her boyfriend was hit, turning towards Kinkle and seeing his expression.
Anger. Just plain anger. I wouldn't say that he targeted my table, but my table of friends was the one that was hit the most.
By this point, Bettina Lynn was struggling to hide under a table. She watched as Kinkle advanced on the panicked mass of students.
I watched as my friends got shot. I watched the six or seven kids tackle and dogpile on top of Kip. I heard books hitting the floor. I heard screams. I heard hysteria. I heard people running for the exits.
One person pushing against the tide was Don Stone, who was a football coach and vice principal at Thurston High. He'd been across the hall, cleaning up after the senior breakfast, when he heard the gunfire. He came into the cafeteria and found one of his players shot in the leg.
And he was spurting blood. I grabbed his hand and slapped it down on his leg and said, "Keep pressure on that." Raced over to the back door. I slowly opened up the door, which opened up to one of our breezeways. Two young men. One was kind of slumped down, sitting. I could see he had taken a wound to the face. He was still very conscious. I pushed him up against the wall and immediately heard one of my other football players saying, "Hey, coach, I need your help." He was trying to do CPR on a young man by the name of Ben Walker.
16-year-old Ben Walker would die within 24 hours. 17-year-old Mikhail Nicholson was shot in the head point blank and died on the scene. Another junior, Tony Case, was on the floor. He had been hit four times. Case recalls a paralyzing numbness and weakness.
And I was trying to pull myself up to sit on the bench of the table, and there was a girl next to me, like, watching me struggling to try and get up on this bench, and she's like, maybe you should just stay there on the ground. I was like, yeah, okay, I guess that's a good idea.
A few blocks away, Springfield Patrol Officer Russ Boring was at a gas station. He got a call of a shooting at Thurston High.
When that call first came in, you'd think, well, maybe this is a hoax or something like that. But then as we were driving to it and we were getting more details, we realized, no, this was really happening.
When Patrolman Boring arrived at the school, two other officers, Donnie Myers and Dan Bishop, were already trying to help victims and look for any other shooters. Within the span of 5 minutes, Kip Kinkle had fatally wounded 2 students and injured 2 dozen more.
I mean, it's chaotic, very chaotic. I mean, people are running around and people are in a state of shock. And Officer Bishop had Kip Kinkle on the ground, and we had fire personnel that were already on the scene. They helped them triage some victims out in that hallway that were severely wounded.
With Kinkle in custody, police went to check on his parents. Detectives entering the isolated Sylvan home were met with a surreal and grisly scene. The bodies of Bill and Faith Kinkle were found in separate rooms as music, Wagner's Liebestod, which literally means love death, looped full blast on a CD player. Kip was facing expulsion for having a .32 caliber handgun in his locker the day before. He'd bought the weapon from a classmate. He'd been taken out of school by Springfield police, then released into the custody of his father. In an interview conducted by Detective Al Worthen, Kip talked of feeling shame as well as voices in his head.
I didn't want to. I love my dad, that's why I was there.
You love him, so that's why you had to kill him?
There had been talk among classmates that Kip's relationship with his father was strained at times. After his removal from school on May 20th, it speculated that the elder Kinkle was looking into military school or a similar program for his son. Once home, Kip retrieved a .22 caliber rifle he'd stashed away, shot his father in the back of the head, then dragged the body into a bathroom.
My dad can say how my mom is just, how embarrassed she was going to be and how horrible I was. And I couldn't let my mom be like that. I couldn't do anything else. There's no other way.
Faith Kinkle arrived later with groceries. After Kip helped her, he told her he loved her, then shot her several times. She was found in the basement by authorities. As for the 2 dozen Thurston High School kids wounded in the attack, they'd been rushed to 2 local hospitals. Tony Case, with 3 bullets in his back and 1 in his leg, recalled ending up at Sacred Heart Hospital.
And the surgeon, he definitely worked miracles with what he had to work with. I mean, I came in and was essentially gone at that point, and he revived me and not only saved my life, but got me back to where I'm still able to do everything that I want to do.
For many survivors, it would be months, even years, before they recuperated from their physical wounds. Emotionally, many still contend with nightmares, flashbacks, and PTSD. Jolene Liu says looking back, she struggled with emerging from the attack unscathed.
It's a hard situation when a lot of your close friends have been injured in a shooting and they have the scars or the pangs from their injuries. It kind of creates a distance between those who just witnessed it and those who actually gone through it. So I felt like because I wasn't shot that I didn't deserve the title of survivor.
In the days to come, satellite trucks and reporters from across the globe descended upon Springfield. Amidst the media blitz, mourners appeared and began leaving notes, flowers, photos, and stuffed animals on one of Thurston High School's fences. The incident touched those beyond Oregon, too. President Bill Clinton spoke of the tragedy in his Memorial Day address that year.
And my thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. Like all Americans, I am struggling to make sense of the senseless and to understand what could drive a teenager to commit such a terrible act. And like all Americans, I am profoundly troubled by the startling similarity of this crime to the other tragic incidents that have stunned America in less than a year's time in Paducah, Kentucky, Jonesboro, Arkansas, Pearl, Mississippi, and Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Weeks later, President Clinton visited Thurston High School. Again, Don Stone.
He said some amazing things to the kids. He met with the victims and their parents. I can remember saying to him, "It's amazing that you're here." And he says, "I'm not amazing. Your kids are."
The president and his staff wore blue ribbons as part of a promise campaign to, quote, "let it end here." But as the coming decades would reveal, the bloody shooting at Thurston High was just the beginning of a long chain of gun violence in America's schools, including one that would be even more notorious the following year in Colorado, at a high school called Columbine. Brian Bull, KLCC News.